Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. It's What You Need to Know, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests will appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Our buddy Alden Gonzalez, who covers the Dodgers for ESPN, will join us in about 20 minutes. But let's get to what we need to know. This is not what's going to help the Dodgers win the World Series, but Major League Baseball has found itself in a very precarious situation as things have gone awry, Greg. 13 positive tests for the Miami Marlins. It has kind of sent the schedule into a spiral. The Baltimore Orioles have landed in Miami. They're flying back to Baltimore. The Marlins home opener is going to be postponed. The Marlins are still in Philadelphia for this weekend. The Philly players are not necessarily thrilled. They're all getting tested right now as we speak. The Yankees don't want to play the Phillies because they don't want to be in the same clubhouse that the Marlins were in. Greg, a complete unmitigated disaster for what was, at least for a few days, nice to have baseball back.
Yeah, it was great to be able to sit around and watch baseball. And this very well could be an unmitigated disaster. I'm hoping that they can figure this all out and get the right guys around and figure something out to make it all still work. But I just can't see how not being in a bubble, and this is how it's always been, you got to be in a bubble to make it work.
Yeah. And by the way, a bubble's not foolproof, but it gives you a fighting chance, right? And I think that's the issue here. The other part of the equation is this, is that I just believe that when you look at the way Major League Baseball is set up, Rob Manfred has said they only have, in theory, 66 days to play these 60 games. Because there's a lot of factors, right? Weather being one of them, for sure. And I think that when you start postponing games, man, you're going to have a hard-ass time trying to make these games up. And I think that that becomes a logistical nightmare. That's why I'm calling it an unmitigated disaster more than anything else. Yeah, obviously, from a health standpoint, it's certainly not ideal. But from a sports perspective and a scheduling perspective, a mess. Like, you having to try to figure this all out later is going to be really, really difficult.
Yeah, to play doubleheaders. And it doesn't just affect the Marlins. It affects the Phillies and it affects the Orioles.
Yankees,
and it affects the Yankees
right.
coming down. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, those teams that were supposed to play the Yankees, are they going to have to change things around? All of a sudden, it just spreads throughout of who it all affects. And that's, you know, because Florida.
It's a chain reaction, yes, hashtag because Florida. Now, apparently, according to reports, they're saying that the Marlins players may not have even contracted the virus in Philly. The reports are saying now that maybe it was when they were in Atlanta to do their practice games, which then goes back to our Lou Will story of like, oh, my God. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, thank God the NBA has decided to quarantine him for 10 days because that could have been a potential disaster. So, man, what a mess. This is not going to be easy, folks. It is going to be like hitting a moving target. So if any of these – this is why I've said if any of the – whoever wins these championships deserves it. Staying in Major League Baseball, this is the thing that could potentially help the Dodgers a little bit. Justin Verlander. Now, initial reports say he was out for the year with an arm injury. Dusty Baker is saying he's got tightness in his forearm, that he's going to be reevaluated in a couple of weeks. Needless to say, I'm sure, Greg, you're not necessarily, you know, I'm not saying you're rooting for injury.
No.
But knowing you and the way you feel about the Astros, I don't feel like you're necessarily crying over this one.
I mean, disappointed that Justin Verlander is not going to play for a couple of weeks and probably not for the entire season. Am I disappointed in that? No, I don't root for the injury. But, you know, if he's not there, he was a cheater. Sorry.
He was a cheater, and he was the guy that stood out there, you know, lambasting other teams and steroid users and things of that nature.
That's
all right, one last thing.
Part of it.
One last thing on what you need to know. Actually, two more things, excuse me. Tom Thibodeau is going to the New York Knicks, 5-year deal. Not surprised, Greg. I've been telling you this for months. Ramona, same thing when we've been on, like we've been talking about this. I actually like the move. Those young guys, though, in the Knicks better get ready to work because it's going to be a completely different ball game than they're used to. There's going to be a different level of accountability. There's going to be a different level of defensive intensity. And Tibbs is a basketball dork. Like, he is in the dungeon all the time watching film. This is going to be like going to military school for those kids.
RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson better be ready to play 3,000 minutes. They are going to be playing a lot of minutes next season.
Yeah. Lastly, Jamal Adams traded from the Jets to the Seahawks. The Seahawks gave up multiple first rounders and some pick swaps for a safety. He's tremendous, but that's a move that you make when you go all in if you're Seattle. That is not that. That's the way you trade all those assets away because of that. The Jets got plenty of assets back, although not as great as you would think, because Seattle plans to probably be one of the better teams in the league. So those picks are going to be in the 20s. But interesting move for a team in the Rams division makes the Rams job even more difficult, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. It is a team that is absolutely going for it now, and they kind of have it for the taking. It's really going to be between them and the Niners. If they can win those battles with the Niners, they're in prime position for a Super Bowl run. So, I mean, it makes sense for them to go all in. The Rams did it a couple of years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, went all in.
Yeah.
So I get it. And now you got Pete Carroll kind of getting on that latter edge of his career. So, you know, now's the time to go.
There it is. That's what you need to know. Again, brought to us by our friends at Progressive Insurance. So if you're just tuning in, Major League Baseball is under siege, as we discussed there. But let's talk about just what you saw from the weekend. What were you most impressed with from over the weekend, Greg? Was there anything that stood out to you in Major League Baseball from the stuff that actually happened on the field?
The stuff that actually happened on the field? I would say the Dodgers defense for the most part, but I mean, they had a couple errors here and there, still trying to figure some stuff out. Their offense looked good in those first two games, but then fell apart. So I don't know if I think Corey Seager made me pretty happy. He was seeing the ball really well, hitting the ball really well, lots of doubles. And I think that you're just going to have the Bellinger and Mookie Betts part all just kind of happen eventually. And so, for the most part, Muncy, I thought, looked really good. The younger guys, like Kike Hernandez and Chris Taylor, were looking good. And Dustin May was fantastic on Thursday.
Yeah, and we've got some Kershaw news. You ready for it?
Ready.
So Clayton Kershaw throws off a mound. He'll do the same thing on Tuesday. He's expected to return to start a game when the team is in Arizona, July 30th through August 2nd.
So good. Go. Hopefully he comes back sooner than later. That's great.
Yeah. Well, the Dodgers need him. I don't think there's any doubt. But again, what is your level of concern with him? Because mine is, it is now five issues with him from an injury perspective, including several with the back over the last several years. Like, this is, you know, the biggest predictor of future injury is past injury. And Clayton Kershaw has a litany of past injuries.
He does, and I'm going to say the same thing that I said last year when he started off last year with a hurt back as well. That's why Hyunjin Ryu was the opening day starter instead of him. It's going to happen. He came back great from it, had a very good season last year, and now in a shorter season where we're not relying on him to go 6-7 innings every single time out, it's going to be better for him to be ready to go for the playoffs. So I don't really have that much level of concern as long as he comes back.
Really? So you don't think that you're not afraid that this thing could be a recurring thing?
I think it's going to always be a recurring thing. It's just whether or not he can sustain through it. And I mean, hopefully it happens more in the off seasons than it does in the regular seasons. And he just takes care of it and comes out of it okay. It seems like he's going to come out of it okay again this time. So I'm not that concerned. I know most people are. But this is how it's been since he went to Australia. What was it, against the Diamondbacks? I don't even know what was that, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
However long that's when he heard it. And it's been like that ever since. So he's been great.
Alden Gonzalez, who covers the Dodgers, is going to join us in about 10 minutes. He has a really cool story about how Mookie Betts fell in love with the Dodgers so quickly. So we're going to talk to him about that in a few minutes, so stick around for that. But I'd love to hear from the audience about Clayton Kershaw. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. What is your level of concern with Clayton Kershaw? 10 being the most concerned, 6, or excuse me, 1 being the least concerned. I would say, Greg, I'm at a healthy 6 with Kershaw. Yeah.
That's really high. I'm probably closer to like a 3.
Yeah. Laura, where are you on that spectrum?
I want to say I'm around 5. I'll keep it neutral.
Okay. Yeah, but that's still not nothing, right? 5 is not nothing. Yeah.
That's neutral.
No. Yeah. It's not nothing. Three, Greg, I feel like I'm talking to Dodger boy here right now.
No, I mean, because we've seen it in the past. It happened last year. It's the same thing. He started off the season on the IL because he had a hurt back. Right. And he came back and I think it was a 3.05 ERA for the year. I really feel like he's going to do basically the same thing. He'll come back, he'll be healthy, and he doesn't have to go as many innings. So I'm not really all that worried.
I will say this. I think that you are underestimating age and multiple injuries to the back. I think you don't realize that compounding those issues is not ideal. Let's go to the phones, though. Daniel in Santa Clarita. What's up, Daniel?
Hey guys. How are you doing? Listen, it's all interesting talking about Verlander's injury. Kershaw's back. Look, I'm a Dodgers fan. I want nothing but the best for Kershaw and his back and so on, but guys, I think we're wasting our time talking about baseball right now. As much as I loved watching these last few games, I can't imagine that they're going to march these guys out there and continue to play baseball. This thing, I think, is going to blow up and get worse and worse. I think we've possibly seen the end of Major League Baseball for 2020 and maybe into 2021 too.
Well, Daniel, stay there for me real quick because I don't think that you're being an alarmist. Like, I don't think that is unreasonable to think that way, especially when you have a guy like David Price going out there calling out Rob Manfred. I'm curious to see how many other players feel that way. And look, they should have done a bubble. We talked about that numerous times. Like, even and look, people were criticizing the NBA. Like, you're still going to do the bubble in Florida? It seems to be working even in a hot spot like Florida. So this notion that baseball couldn't have done it in Arizona like they were talking about initially, or Texas, or even Florida potentially, right? That they couldn't have found a way to do that, especially once they went to 60 games. I feel like Rob Manfred did not do his due diligence as a commissioner there by trying to re-engage those talks.
Yeah, I completely agree. And as much as I love the game and want to see the game, I'm a realist. And, man, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about these people, these gentlemen that have gotten sick, concerned about the age of the coaches and who they are exactly, and really how far deep is it into the Marlins, you know? And you see these comments on social media, well, just drop the Marlins from the league. It doesn't matter. But that's just not how it works.
That's not happening, yeah.
You lose one team and you lose the season, I feel.
Yeah.
And so I don't want that to happen. Like you said, I'm not an alarmist. It's awful. I want to see baseball, but the reality here looks grim. It really does.
Thank you for the call, Daniel. Daniel in Santa Clarita drops off, opens it up for you at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Greg, do you remember we played a cut a long time ago of Buster Olney on ESPN Radio when he was asked, like, what do you think the chances Major League Baseball even starts? And he said 5%. And he said, what do you think the chances are that Major League Baseball finishes the season? And he said 0%. And here we are. And apparently he's just tweeted, if MLB continues to try to move forward with games, and that is the expectation with a lot of teams, they shouldn't worry about the integrity of a 60-game schedule. If some teams play 55, others 59 or 60, just go by winning percentage. This has happened after the 1981 strike. Are you okay with that, Greg? Are you okay with winning percentage determining the winner, basically a battle of attrition?
Yes, I am okay with that, especially with 16 teams going to the playoffs this year. Yeah, I'm totally fine with that because it shouldn't matter at that point. We're just trying to get through the season, and if they're going to continue to play, which, like Daniel was just talking about, is a very good possibility that they don't continue to play, then, yeah, they shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. This is going to be wild. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. And look, I know there are a lot of you out there I don't know if there's a lot. Like, I probably shouldn't overestimate. But I know there's some people out there that don't believe believe that this is either a hoax or this is overblown or it's like the flu. No, man. There's been 150,000 deaths, okay? 150,000 deaths is still way more than the highest two flu seasons combined since 1980. Okay? Like, and that means you're going back 40 years to find 2 years that even comes close to it, and you can't. So, you know, like, this thing is real, and yes, it may not affect these particular guys in certain ways. Although, we don't know that, because there are lasting effects here. Plus, it's who else they interact with. The coaches, the manager. All those guys aren't young. They're not spring chickens. What about in their family life? You know what I mean? Like, everyone's going to react different to this thing. And, man, it's why I'm glad the NHL did what the NBA is doing. I'm glad the MLS also did a bubble, because those sports, I think, will at least have a true fighting chance. All right, Alden Gonzalez covers the Dodgers. He wrote a great story about how Mookie Betts fell in love with the Dodgers. We'll talk to him about this, what's going on in the league, and, of course, that Mookie story coming up in 2.5 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your insurance for your motorcycle, boats, RVs, cars, for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save in as little as 3 minutes by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting their website at progressive.com. And also our friends at Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. Whether you're taking on the trails or hanging out in your terrace, your deck, or your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time, because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. Alden Gonzalez joins us here of ESPN. He does a phenomenal job covering Major League Baseball and the Dodgers as well. He joins us here now. So, Alden, I wanted to talk to you originally. We had brought you on to talk about the story you wrote about Mookie Betts and falling in love with the Dodgers organization, and we'll certainly do that. But thank you for the time. And I guess we should start with what's going on in Major League Baseball. I guess, you know, everyone has their own thoughts on this. What is your level of surprise that this is where we're at so quickly?
Maybe a little bit of surprise that we got here so fast, but I'm definitely not surprised that we're here. I think a lot of people throughout the game figured that we would eventually get to a situation like this, where there's an outbreak on one team, and then all of a sudden it's just spider webs and starts affecting a bunch of other teams. And George, it's funny, as this sort of quote-unquote summer camp portion progressed, the optimism from people around the game started to increase a little bit, because you saw the results that Major League Baseball and the Players Union revealed, and there were very relatively low number of positive cases. The thing with that, though, is that within that optimism was always the caveat, and that was that once the season began, these teams were going to begin traveling like normal. They don't have a bubble environment like the NBA. They don't have those two hub cities like the NHL, which meant they were going to go to airports, and they were going to go through security, and they were going to get on buses, on airplanes, they were going to stay in hotels. And that's where the risk always lied. And I think the really disheartening thing for Major League Baseball is that this is just the first weekend of the season. And now you're looking at a scenario where the Marlins are not going to play their first two home games in Miami. The Orioles had to fly back from Miami to Baltimore to continue a series with the Marlins 3 days from now. And the Yankees are not going to stay in the visiting clubhouse in Philadelphia, because the Marlins were staying there and there was an outbreak of COVID-19. And for me, George, it's just a reminder of how fragile this whole thing is.
Yeah, it is like hitting a moving target. Alden Gonzalez with us here, covers Major League Baseball for us here at ESPN and the Dodgers particularly. And we'll get to some Dodgers stuff in a second. But why wasn't it revisited? Because the bubble atmosphere, because I know initially there was some talk, right, about maybe Arizona, maybe Florida, maybe even Texas, right? And we've seen that the NBA, even in a hot spot in Florida, for the most part, has been able to take care of business. And can they revisit that now? Could that be something that they can put back on the table? Because I thought as soon as it was determined that it was only 60 games and it wasn't going to be 4 or 5 months like the players were objecting to, they probably should have looked at that as a viable option. What do you make of the fact that they didn't? Why wasn't it revisited? And do you think it still could potentially be revisited?
I definitely don't think it can be revisited. I think it's too late, especially given the backdrop of just where we are as a country with COVID-19 escalating and just all the logistics that would go into place of making that happen. I mean, you know very well just how much the NBA went through just to make the bubble environment happen in Orlando. I think there were a couple of reasons here. I think the first one was that there was a lot of backlash from the players when this was initially introduced, that it seemed like sort of this draconian sort of system, and they didn't want to be away from their families for 2-3 months at a time. And I understand that perspectives might have changed since that was first proposed because of just how serious this continued to become. But initially, I think the backlash was so much that they decided, you know what? There's already enough contentious relationships with the players' union right now. Let's just try to work this out another way. But I think an even bigger factor in this, George, is that I just don't know how that is logistically possible. I mean, Arizona was the obvious one because Arizona hosts spring training all the time, but Arizona is a major hotspot. And, you know, the only major league facility, true major league facility there is where the Arizona Diamondbacks play during the season. And just given the numbers in that state, and I don't know, I feel like in the NBA, just the amount of space required to host these teams because of just the logistics of playing basketball and these gymnasiums and stuff, and teams can continue reusing them, it's a bit of a smaller environment as opposed to these teams just sort of being sprawled throughout one entire state and trying to make it work. Now, to your point, though, George, like, would that have been a better idea than the traveling thing? I think there's no doubt about it, because Major League Baseball tried to sort of quell this by saying that they're only going to be traveling regionally. But to me, like, I don't think that matters. Whether you're traveling from coast to coast or just traveling from Los Angeles to Arizona, you're still getting on an airplane and you're still opening yourself up to sort of all these risks. And to me, traveling is traveling. And I think that's what's going to be so difficult about making this season happen.
Aldo Gonzalez hanging out with us here, covers Major League Baseball for ESPN, and we'll talk some Dodgers with him here in a second. The David Price tweet, though, this, you know, you talked about the contentious nature between the Players Association and the players and obviously the league. I don't think this is going to get any better. Like, how does this look to Rob Manfred right now? Like, what is his solution to all of this? Are you just going to rearrange the schedule and maybe Miami eventually, when they are cleared to play, flies to Baltimore? Like, what kind of a mess is he embroiled in right now, Rob Manfred?
It's a huge mess. I'm sure he anticipated that it was going to be a mess. I have no doubt that if we do see the season all the way through, and once again, there is growing skepticism whether that would even happen, I think you're going to see a scenario where teams, all 30 teams are going to play a different number of games, because I don't know how the Marlins are going to be able to make up these two games against the Orioles. And I don't think, frankly, that Major League Baseball should be very concerned about that right now. And the interesting thing going into the season was always, what is it going to take to shut down the season? What is the number of positive cases? What is the number of teams having an outbreak similar to the Marlins? What is the situation throughout the country going to have to be for you to shut this down? There was never an answer to that. I read through Major League Baseball's operations manual before this whole thing began. It is more than 100 pages. And nowhere in it does it stipulate how many positive cases or what in general would determine that this season just can't happen. And I think what Major League Baseball faces is simply an ethical question. And it's just, how much risk are you willing to take on here? How much risk are you willing to put these players and these coaches through to get your season in? Because obviously this is a huge, there's a huge financial motivation to get this season in. And it's, I don't know, it's a question that I don't know that Rob Manfred has the answer to right now. The only thing I could say is that Major League Baseball's owners got on a conference call today and they, at least for now, did not bring up the possibility of canceling this season, which I'm not surprised by. It's still early. You got to see how this plays out. But that question is going to become increasingly difficult, George. And at the end of the day, I think it's just going to have to be an ethical question by Rob Manfred. And it's Rob Manfred who has the power to stop this season when it seems like it's sort of spiraling out of control.
Aldo Gonzalez with us here, covers Major League Baseball for us at ESPN. Let's talk between the lines now, sort of. Clayton Kershaw, we know, was scratched. He's thrown off a mound, potentially could join the team in Arizona between July 30th and August 2nd. What is your overall level of concern about Clayton Kershaw now that he's had several back injuries?
A little bit less given what you said, because it seems like this truly was a precautionary move and was at least partly motivated by the fact that they had a 22-year-old kid in Dustin May who's really good. And if Clayton Kershaw is going to put himself in jeopardy this season, let's let him sort of sit this one out and we'll give this guy a shot. But it's Clayton Kershaw and it's back. So, George, I'm always going to be concerned. And this is something where, and I think Clayton Kershaw would acknowledge this, that this is just something he's going to have to deal with for the rest of his career. And that's become clear for the last 3 to 4 years. I think this is the fourth time in the last 5 years that he has gone on the injured list because of a back-related issue. And, you know, George, covering athletes for so long, that these things just are always there. They're always looming, and you could feel great one day and not feel great the next. And I think what's so disheartening for Clayton, and something that he touched on recently, was he felt so good during this entire time. During that 3-month shutdown, he threw off the mound a bunch. When this summer camp portion started, he had a lot of length in him. He was throwing 3-4 innings at a time right away. And then all of a sudden, like 2 days before opening day, it just sort of pops up again. And it's just a reminder of how these back injuries sort of manifest themselves, especially for athletes who are in their 30s.
You wrote a story, how Mookie Betts fell in love with the Dodgers, or why Mookie Betts fell in love with the Dodgers. So how did he fall in love with the Dodgers?
Because the Dodgers are something of an unrelenting albatross that will continue to field teams that are perpetually in contention. I know fans here, rightfully so, are really upset that that team hasn't been able to win a World Series. It's still been since 1988, and there would be no excuses from the players on that side. But I would hope that part of the fan base here can also celebrate the fact that this is a team that every single year it seems like they're in contention to win the World Series. And when you look ahead to who they have on the roster and their financial obligations, which frankly aren't much of anything besides the Betts deal that they just signed, that this is a team that's going to be in contention for a really long time. And what one of the stats that I use in that story that I think really embodies who they are is, over the last 5 years, their farm system has been ranked within the top 10 to start each of those years. And then at the end of each of those years, they've been among the top 5 teams in total wins above replacement, which just shows you how well they've been able to balance winning now with just sort of protecting their future. And there aren't many teams that have been able to do that. I mean, you look at teams like the Phillies and the Tigers and even like the Red Sox now, who spent big on their rosters. And even though they're in big markets, eventually they sort of had to tear it down because the luxury tax threshold was real and they had to pay these escalating penalties and it just wasn't sustainable. And, you know, you got to give credit to Andrew Friedman, who got there. And I know fans were upset a lot of the time because he didn't sign these big time stars, but he sort of waited until the time was right. And this offseason was the right time. They tried to get Gerrit Cole. He wanted to go to the Yankees. They tried to get Anthony Rendon. He had no interest in playing in L.A. They tried to trade for Francisco Lindor. They couldn't make it happen. But they got Mookie Betts. And I think it shows you just where they are as a franchise that Mookie Betts gets here. He has no roots in L.A. He spent a combined 6 weeks with his Dodgers teammates, and he's like, you know what? I don't need to be a free agent. I'm good here. And the rest of us are all like, yeah, of course. Why would you want to go anywhere else? And I think that speaks volumes about where the Dodgers are right now.
Alden Gonzalez covers Major League Baseball for us here at ESPN and covers the Dodgers as well. Thanks, brother. Appreciate the time. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Thanks again.
Thanks, George. And you.
You got it. There he is, Alden Gonzalez. Whew. Coming up next, we actually have some words from Stan Kasten about the Major League Baseball situation and the Dodgers' position on it right now. We'll get to that. Plus, how Lou Will could potentially hurt his Clippers teammates. I'll explain that in just a second. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like Alden Gonzalez and Amin Alhassan have appeared via the Shell Pennzoil Performance line. If you missed any part of those interviews, both were excellent. You should subscribe to the Sedano Show podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and, of course, the ESPN app. This segment brought to you by our friends at My Computer Career, training for a better life. So thanks to Alden for joining us there. The Mookie Betts part of this is interesting. The fact that it does look, you should be pretty proud of your Dodgers organization. I know that Friedman and Roberts and those guys have taken some hits, but and ultimately winning will decide how you feel about them. I get it. But they have set this team up for, God, a decade, basically, of winning potentially here moving forward. And they've already been in two World Series during this time. Eventually, they're going to win one. But the big issue today in Major League Baseball is the Marlins basically have had 13 staff members, including players and coaches, test positive for the coronavirus. They are stuck in Philadelphia at the moment. The Yankees don't want to play the Phillies because the Phillies are, or they don't want to be in the same clubhouse as the Marlins. Now there's reports that the Marlins could have actually contracted it while in Atlanta, which gets us to the Lou Will story. Like, oh, man, like, you know, how does that work itself out? There's a lot of things going on here. Lou Will, by the way, very active on Twitter, including taking a shot at one of our colleagues here at ESPN. I'll get to that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you, Greg, Stan Kasten was on MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM earlier today, And here's what he said about the current status of Major League Baseball, which I think is a little bit of a mess because logistically this is going to be a problem. He says, quote, "I don't believe there's going to be any panic just yet. I think we understood that there might be occasions like this, which is why we had our player pool as big as it is. Hopefully this is the worst outbreak we have for the rest of the season because it will teach us some things. I do think we expected something like this at this point, and maybe getting it out of the way early will help us teach us some things to avoid the repetition of this." Now, look, I think that's a very PC answer. And, you know, you heard Alden. We read Buster Olney's tweet that this isn't going to stop. They're going to keep going through, and if they have to do winning percentage and not everybody's going to play the 60 games, so be it. They've committed to this. I am disappointed, though, when Alden said, when I asked him about maybe revisiting the bubble, that the league would not be willing to do that. I mean, they're going to move all sorts of shells around anyway. You might as well do it right. My dad always taught me, don't have half-ass anything, kid. If you half-ass it, you're going to get those kind of results. And I think that Major League Baseball has kind of half-assed this. But what do you make of Stan Kasten's remarks there, Greg?
I don't think he's wrong, and your dad is right. You shouldn't half-ass anything. They should move to a bubble, and that would be the safest, easiest thing. Maybe not easiest, but it would be the safest thing to do. I think that Stan is kind of right that they're hoping that this is going to be the only thing. Now, it's going to depend. The Miami Marlins were, if there's that many people, 13 guys, whether it's players and staff, were all around other Phillies guys on that field. We have to wait till we see the tests come back from Philly guys. And then you're talking about how they went to Atlanta. That means that the Braves could possibly be part of that as well. We have to really see what all these tests are going to look like. If it grows and the Phillies are infected and possibly guys on the Braves or wherever it happens to be, then this is going to be a really bad spot for Major League Baseball. And they're not going to be able to just stop the season. They're not going to just be able to move through the season.
Yeah, it's going to be a super-duper challenge. Like, this is going to be wild. And again, it's not like none of us saw this coming with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all like, I don't know about baseball. It just seems kind of crazy that they're going to do what they're going to do. And here they are. It is National Scotch Day, by the way. And
yeah.
God, I feel like I need one after enduring everything that's happened in Major League Baseball today. Good Lord. I think I made a little single malt today.
Yeah, do you have a go-to scotch? I'm a big scotch.
Oh, Macallan. Macallan anything. Macallan, whatever year it is, just Macallan.
Oh, Macallan is very, very, very good. It's got a little bit of that gasoline taste to it to me. I'm a big Lagavulin guy, a little bit more peaty. Delicious.
Laura, I know you're a tequila person, but are you a scotch person?
I can be. I don't have like a.
I mean,
it's
like I can be amenable to anything.
Give me the booze.
Really, just, if it's got alcohol, I'm in.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not very known with scotch, like tequila, I got you. Mm-hmm. But maybe I need to hang around with you guys more. You guys can teach me a little bit more about scotch because you guys know that rum.
Oh, I am a connoisseur. My wife makes fun of me for all the different kinds of scotch that I end up buying. Let's go to Jason and Downey. Don't know if you're a scotch guy, but I know you want to talk about Clayton Kershaw. What's up, Jason?
First off, despite all the Alex Bergman's taking, I'm still waiting for his episode on the Venice Mace podcast. So I'm still holding out hope for that.
And holding out for a long time.
As Scotch, no, I'm just a beer drinker, unfortunately.
All right.
But for my concern for Kershaw, I have to be honest, Greg, it's 8-9. I just feel like that Clayton Kershaw security blanket is gone. You know, with as many stints as he's had, you know, for as long as he's been, it's not too bad. But with Walker Buehler, Dustin May, it's just kind of like, well, is this what we're going to expect from him? Then I just got to get used to it. Actually, I have a question for you, Greg. Do you think this was his last contract with the Dodgers?
Yeah, I do think this would be his last contract with the Dodgers. If anything, he'll want to go home to Texas, maybe play with the Rangers when this is all over. He's made the money. Rather be comfortable with his family at home, as close to them as possible. So I think it's done after this.
Thanks for the call, Jason. Appreciate it, buddy. Davey Martinez, who is the Nationals manager, has said that after this weekend, his concern has gone from an 8 to a 12. By the way, Davey Martinez has a heart condition working in the pandemic. He's like, hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm actually scared. And this is the stuff we're talking about, Greg. You know what I mean? Like, there are people. Who was the Red Sox pitcher you were telling me during the break, the 27-year-old pitcher?
Yeah, there's a a Red Sox left-handed pitcher named Eduardo Rodriguez, and he had COVID-19 earlier this year. And now there are he's confirmed the reports himself on WEEI just the other day, saying that he's having complications with his heart because of the COVID. He has
myocarditis. Right, he tested positive previously, right.
Right, and he has myocarditis, which is an inflammation of the heart muscle. So, guys, at 27 years old, young, didn't have any prior conditions that they probably knew about, are having problems with their hearts now due to COVID. That's a big deal.
Man, I can't believe Don Mattingly let the Marlins players decide on whether they should play after four guys tested positive.
Like,
Don Mattingly is my childhood hero, but good God, that is a dumb decision. Anyway, thank God for the NBA and the NHL and the MLS. Because they're playing it safely in the bubble. Coming up next, Lou Will takes a shot at one of our ESPN colleagues. And where are the Lakers on the new NBA power rankings? They also tell you what the best and worst case scenario could be for the Lakers. We'll get to all that coming up in 2.5 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization to service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. You know, you could do that with your smart speaker, whether you have the Amazon Alexa or the Google One or whatever. You just tell them, hey, play ESPN Los Angeles radio. And they will run the station for you. They'll stream it for you. Also brought to us by our friends at Nature Valley Crunchy Bars, whether you're taking on the trail or your terrace, hanging out on your deck or maybe even your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help make the most of your outdoor time because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. Hey, if you are by your TV today between 5 and 7 p.m. Pacific time here in L.A., I will be hosting with Jalen Rose, Paul Pierce, and Jay Williams a two-hour kind of red zone type event with the NBA scrimmages tonight from the Orlando bubble. So we're going to be talking about all the teams, obviously the Lakers and Clippers, plenty. And we'll be showing highlights from their games and kind of breaking it down and kind of getting nerdy and having some fun talking about all the teams as we get ready for the restart. So if you're home today between 5 and 7, put on ESPN2, and we would appreciate it if you did. All right, so Lou Williams has gone on Twitter and has taken a shot at Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins, our buddy, tweeted out earlier today, which is no different than anything anyone really has said. It's disturbing when a rookie in Zion Williamson can act more mature than an NBA vet like Lou Williams. So Lou Williams, apparently in the last, half hour, has quote tweeted this and said, 15 years in the business and the most dirt you have on me on my name is stopping to get hot wings during a pandemic. Perk, shut up and stop laughing and saying it's just TV when you run into me too. Look, Lou Will has been super active on Twitter since all this broke and very defensive about it. And I don't know, man. Like, I just don't feel like that's the right tack to take. You know what I mean? Like, you screwed up, dude. Like, just own it and move on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't... Is it the worst thing in the world? In a normal situation, absolutely not. You, as Amin said earlier, you'd probably just get fined, and that would be the end of it. But during a global pandemic in Atlanta, where Georgia's on fire too, yeah, probably not a good idea. You know what I mean? So the league is going to deal with you, and you're going to have to deal with the ramifications. And that also means that people are going to wonder aloud, hey, man, what are you doing? Your team is trying to compete for a championship. We talked about this even before the bubble was a reality, that if any of these players, regardless of who they were, left the bubble, particularly on teams that were trying to win a championship, that people were going to look at them sideways and be up in arms and like, come on, man. Like, it's not that big a deal. Like, you could just get back, and help your team, especially with a team like the Clippers, who... For as great as they've been, and they've been great, they're 21-5, I think, when Kawhi, Paul George, and Pat Bev specifically are playing in a game. But the fact is they haven't had a large sample size to harness their chemistry. And I just don't – look, I think Lou Williams is a good guy. I think Lou Williams is an excellent player. I just don't love the way he's reacting to this. I don't think that this is the way you win, A, the court of public opinion – B, yeah, maybe it feels good to you, but it's not helping anyone, including your team, because now they're going to have to answer even more questions about this.
What I just don't understand is, like, I've gone and picked up wings from places very many times. And, like, let's say I go to Wingstop. I don't go in and start, like, hanging out with the bartenders and talking about other stuff and, you know, dancing around and partying. If he was just going in and picking up some wings, that's all fine. Like, all right, whatever. You picked it up, you left, fine. All the pictures show is him, like, dancing. He's got a drink in his hand, his hands up in the air. He's got the mask on, which is great. At least he had the mask on. But, I mean, you're not going in just to pick up wings. Let's be honest here.
Well, right. I mean, your name is on the menu, dude. The lemon pepper Lou Williams wings. You don't think you could have called somebody and be like, hey, bring them out curbside for me? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Yeah, like, no one's buying that.
Right. Like, you can't go on Twitter and then start saying, like, oh, you're going to get upset with me for picking up wings. You didn't just pick up wings. I'm sorry, man. That's just not how it went down.
He was trying to pick up something else, guys.
Well, clearly he's trying to pick up a number of things. You know what I'm saying? Potentially. But, you know, hopefully it wasn't coronavirus, because that's what's the most important thing right now.
Right. Do this. Look, you can do this in a couple months. Magic City's not going anywhere. Your name is not going to be off the menu in a couple months. Just hold off. Right. Just for a short time.
Yeah. Kendrick Perkins has responded. Too small, homeboy. Stay in your lane, little fella. Hashtag out of my weight class.
Oh, we got a full-on Twitter beef brewing. Yeah. I love this.
Yeah. Yeah. This is real now. This is absolutely real. We're going to have a
back and forth. I love the fact that Lou Will said, like, hey, and don't say it this way to me when you see me in person. That it's like, oh, it's just all TV. Now this becomes real at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I agree. I agree. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all, to be honest with you. Laura, can you find me some NBA music? Because I want to go through these power rankings with the Lakers and the Clippers. ESPN has dished out their first power rankings before the actual games in the bubble commence. And it also gives worst case and best case scenario for all the different teams. So let's see what we've got here. Greg, where do you think the Lakers will rank? And then I'll ask you about the Clippers. Where do you think the Lakers rank in the power rankings?
They should be one, but I'm going to say two.
They are two. Number one are the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right.
Best case scenario for Milwaukee, obviously the NBA championship. Giannis could win the MVP. What is the worst case scenario, you think, for the Bucks?
For the Bucks, out in the conference finals.
Yeah, anything less than the finals, basically, is a complete disaster, right? Like, that's fair to say?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you got to get to the finals. If you don't get to the finals, if you lose in the finals, that's one thing, right? You've now taken that extra step. You've put yourself in the conversation. You're a game or two or whatever potentially away from winning a championship. But, yeah, that is absolutely a worst-case scenario. So the Lakers are number two. And, by the way, this is all voted upon by all the our colleagues here at ESPN, including myself. Number two are the Lakers. And, clearly, it's title hunt or bust for them.
Yep.
They're trying to re-engage some players, particularly like a J.R. Smith or a Deion Waiters. What is the worst-case scenario for the Lakers, Greg?
Same thing as the Bucks. It's title or bust.
Yeah, so McMiniman wrote this, and he said this, quote, there are plenty of pitfalls for the Lakers that they will have to sidestep, starting with their first-round opponent. Charles Barkley has made plenty of outlandish predictions, but a Blazers upset over L.A. is not blasphemous, or as blasphemous as it might sound. Beyond a number one versus number eight trap, there are still losses of Avery Bradley, Rajon Rondo to make up for the additions of J.R. Smith, Deion Waiters, and Markieff Morris to account for. But anything but a ring is pretty much unacceptable. That's the pressure that will mount any time the Lakers find themselves down in a series. Right? Like, if they're down 2-1 in any series, people are going to freak the bleep out.
Yep, it's going to be travesty. People are going to be going crazy on Twitter. Oh no, the Lakers season's over. It's going to be bad.
Yeah. Where do you think the Clippers rank?
Probably third.
They are third, yes. And now their best case scenario is interesting. The four-month hiatus has given Kawhi Leonard and Paul George time to get any lingering health issues out of their way. The break helped new additions like Marcus Morris, Reggie Jackson, Joakim Noah learn Doc Rivers' system. And the Clippers have the deepest roster ready to overcome any unforeseen bubble predicaments. And boy, are they in one now. Worst case scenario, after having Pat Bev, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell leave the bubble and tend to family issues and not having Ivica Zubac and Landry Shamet during their first couple of weeks, the Clippers could struggle to find their chemistry needed to win a title. But would it be a disaster if the Clippers fail to become a cohesive unit and are upset before the Western Conference Finals? Yes. So the Clippers is a Western Conference Finals worst case scenario. Are you okay with that?
I mean, that sounds about right. But I mean, that just shows you the difference between the Lakers and the Clippers. One is title or bust. One is, hey, let's make it to the conference finals.
Ooh, look at you talking trash. I love it. Talking trash about the Clippers.
Laura loved it.
I will say this. As far as the Clippers are concerned, as far as those numbers, we went deep inside the Lakers numbers earlier. But here are some Clippers numbers. I want to give you some dirt here on the Clippers. Some good Clipper nerdy nuggets, right? Man, I just got hungry for chicken nuggets all of a sudden after I said that. I always get hungry at this time of the show, like the last segment. Anyhow, back to the Clippers. All about defense with Patrick Beverley. He ranks fourth in defensive real plus minus this season. He ranks seventh in field goal percentage allowed as the closest defender among guards to defend 300 shots this season. I mentioned the Clippers are 21-5 with their big two in Beverley. But get this, if Harrell and Williams are not available, I asked research, what's the best lineup available to play Kawhi and with Kawhi and Paul George? Watch for this group. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Patrick Beverley, Marcus Morris, and Ivica Zubac, who should be back by the time the game starts. They've played 124 minutes together, the most among any five players currently on the Clippers roster that are in, you know, on the roster in general. In eight games together, they have a net efficiency of 19.4 since the trade deadline. That's the fifth best net efficiency among 30 lineups to play 75 minutes together. Since the trade deadline, opponents have shot only 29% on three-pointers against that particular five-man lineup. And let's not forget, Zubac is really good at protecting the paint. That's the third best among 30 lineups to play 75 minutes together. So, Greg, do you want to know what number stands out most with Kawhi and PG?
Yes. What is it?
Okay. You didn't sound that enthused. You sound way more enthused when I was talking to you about the Lakers in the first hour of the show as we went deep inside the numbers.
No, I was going to guess, but I couldn't think of what it would be.
But, because Ohm pointed out here about that, could the Clippers struggle to find chemistry needed to win a title? Well, here's what I would combat that with. Here's some positive news for the Clippers. Kawhi and Paul George's on-off numbers this season. When both are on, their net efficiency is almost 12. Plus 11.6, 760 minutes. When it's just Kawhi, it's plus 11.2 in 883 minutes. But when it's just Paul George on the floor, it's only plus 2.2 in 462 minutes. When both of them are off, they're about even, negative 0.1 in 982 minutes. So they're about a 500 squad with those guys off the floor, basically. So pretty interesting stuff. The Clippers shoot 47% on corner threes when both guys are there. Obviously, that opens things up. Similar to what we were talking about with Kuzma's ascension to a solid three-point shooter when both AD and LeBron are on the floor. So some interesting notes there when it comes to the Clippers.
Yeah, all that says to me really is that without Kawhi Leonard on the floor, that team's not going to win anything.
Correct.
They need to have him on. Yeah. It's not even about Paul George, though. Without
it's
Paul
more
George
about
on the
Kawhi.
Floor, it's the same. Yes.
He is the most – look, the three most impactful players in the NBA, in no particular order, are LeBron, Giannis, and Kawhi.
Right.
And that's
but Anthony Davis is close, at least.
No, not as close as those guys. Those guys are all double-digit net efficiency guys. Anthony Davis is not that.
No, but they still can do better with I don't know the numbers are, and we probably can go through them another time, but I bet you that the net efficiency for when Anthony Davis is on the floor and LeBron is off is still pretty good.
Not really. It's not that good.
Okay.
I mean, I could look it up for you, but I remember looking at it just over the weekend, and it's not as eye-popping like the Kawhi number or the LeBron number or the Giannis number.
Fair. Probably higher than Paul George, though. That's all I'm saying.
It is higher than Paul George. Yes, it is higher than Paul George. I will give you that. So those are some of the Clippers numbers there. Good Lord, man. You, Greg.
What do I do now?
You are so anti-Clipper. You can't even say one nice. Can you ever say a nice thing about them? Was that you, Laura, who just yelled at me?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, she was yelling at me also, so I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Yeah.
But no, I am anti-Clipper. I'm sorry. They need to get out of the second round.
One nice thing about them.
I think Kawhi Leonard is an incredible basketball player.
Okay. Laura, could you at least say that?
I second that.
Oh, you couldn't even say it.
That's why I said never. That's what I was trying to say. Never. We can't say good things about the Clippers. Come on, George.
Okay. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, you can be nice about them occasionally, you know?
I like Kawhi.
Okay.
That's it. Go get chicken wings.
Yeah. Greg, are you worried about... We're done with the music. Thank you, Laura. I appreciate it. Greg, are you as we head out here, because we're almost ready to wrap here in a second, with everything that's happened today in baseball, I'll ask you first, and I'll get Laura's thoughts after, because I'm concerned about the NFL, because there are more players to worry about. Yes, less road trips, but more players. How concerned... Level one, least concerned, 10, most concerned about the NFL potential restart?
I'm probably at an 8. I think they're arrogant enough to go ahead and just make it happen, so I'm not putting it any higher than that, but it's about an 8. They need to be in a bubble. They got to figure out some kind of bubble, or we're going to be in the same situation as baseball is.
Laura, are you also as worried as Greg?
I'm more worried than Greg. I would probably do like a 9.5.
Yeah, well... rookies have allegedly about to report. Players, veterans are going to report here tomorrow. It's going to be interesting to see. And again,
where are you?
I am an 8. Yeah, I'm pretty high. Again, they had to be strong-armed. The league, the richest league in sports, had to be strong-armed into doing 2 weeks worth of tests at training camp by J.J. Yeah. Watt and Patrick Mahomes. Like, come on.
Yeah, and then you know that face mask that they're going to have? They're not even saying that you have to wear it. It's your choice whether you wear that face shield or not.
Holy moly. All right, we'll see. Real quick, shout out to two birthdays. Alex Rodriguez is 45 years old, and Triple H is 51 today. Triple H, I mean, that guy, he's like the king of the WWE. I like that he still comes in and out and wrestles every once in a while. I do like that, though. I love that about wrestling, where you can just kind of come out of retirement whenever the hell you want.
That's a Laura thing. You miss me on wrestling.
Yeah, no. I used to watch him a lot, but I hated him. I was like that. Like, I hated... He wasn't my favorite because he was always like the bully and the villain.
He is a bully and a villain.
Yeah.
But that's cool too.
Can we just say Alex Rodriguez, shout out. He manifested being with J-Lo, and X amount of years later, he's with J-Lo.
He's still with J-Lo.
Yeah.
She celebrated his birthday yesterday on set. They were in Bristol calling the Dodger game, and they showed a clip of it yesterday. All right. Thanks to... All of you took the time to call in and tune in today. Thanks to Amin Al-Hassan. Thanks to Alden Gonzalez. Thanks to Greg and Laura. You guys be safe. Stay healthy. Stay safe. We love you. We will talk to you tomorrow at 10. Tune in tonight, 5 to 7 on ESPN2. We're doing an NBA Red Zone with the scrimmages. Me, Jalen, Paul Pierce, and Jay Will. Talk to you tomorrow. See you.